Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Alan Ruskin is Managing Director and Global Head of G10 Forex at Deutsche Bank Securities. And he is just back from Japan. Alan, from the point of view of being on the ground there, what's your take on what's happening in Japan?
Yes, I think it seems like on the ground the tone is a little bit more sanguine than the official statistics. So no one was really anticipating the weakness in Q3 GDP that you actually saw in the actual data. At the same time, I think there's probably a degree of tolerance about yen weakness, even though that's really caught retail, it's caught corporates, and it's caught real money off guard.
Well, what's your prediction? How far does the yen go right now?
Well, we're kind of hitting our 2015 targets rather early. And I would anticipate that we get sort of profit taking in the 119 to 120 area. So we don't just zip right through 120. Over time, in the medium term, I think we could extend all the way up to 130. But it's going to take a little bit more time, and it's going to go a little bit more slowly than we've seen of late.
And I guess the underlying question then is, do you believe in Abenomics? Can he fix it, or is this just kicking the can down the road and hoping that currency can pull the economy out?
Well, I think there are some problems that we're seeing in Abe economics, to the extent that the way things have typically worked is they try to weaken the currency and help equities, and through stronger equities also support the real economy. And I guess the linkages there are weakening, if anything. So currency weakness translating into equity strength, that still seems to be working on balance, but perhaps not quite as strongly as before. And then the equity strength through to the real economy, I think, is the big worry, really. That's not working out that well. So, look, we're still looking at GDP growth in 2015, a little bit above 1%. So it's not a terrible scenario. Per capita terms, that's, pretty solid. So, I'd give it a grade B, really, rather than a grade A in terms of is it working or isn't working. And it's certainly the best option out there.
Alan Ruskin with us with Deutsche Bank, just returning from Japan. Good morning, everyone. Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Cohn Resnick. Accounting Tax Advisory Cohn Resnick is proud to congratulate Joe Torre on his induction into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. His lifetime achievements have created great game-changing results. Again, Alan Ruskin with us with Deutsche Bank, looking at the linkages here. Alan, when I look at dollar-yen, it's just one example of what I'm going to call quadratic November. We have a lot of accelerating curves, whether it's oil or yen, signaling some form of, as Trichet would say, brutal moves. Is this a precursor to greater instability?
Well, I don't know if it's a precursor of great instability, but it is greater instability than we were seeing in that sort of summer lull period, that's for sure. And I think currency volatility for sure is back. Commodity volatility also looks like it's back. And, when you do get any one market moving, it tends to have a chain reaction. As an example, when oil moves, there's winners and losers. So, it does filter through to volatility in other markets.
I am absolutely, I've been waiting for this, knowing that you were going to be on the show from yesterday. Would you define the price of depreciation or devaluation of a currency? What is the social cost to a move by any nation to manage their currency lower?
Well, the hope is that as you manage your currency lower, you get some stimulus to GDP, primarily through your export sector, but it can work its way through other sectors. For example, it can help equities and help the wealth effect. And then the negative side of that, of course, is inflation tends to take off. The thing that you're seeing in this world, of course, is that there's global disinflation. So the disincentives or the things that are working against weakening their currency are not what they used to be, really, in a way. So it seems like a bit of a free ride for central banks to try to weaken their currency. The problem, of course, is not all central banks can do the same thing. It's kind of ends up as a zero-sum game.
There was a lot of talk of quote-unquote currency wars coming out of the Great Recession as countries try to get back some growth. Are we in that kind of stage now, or is this basically isolated to a country like Japan?
No, I think there's weakening or deliberate weakening of currencies that's going on in sort of fairly widespread fashion. I think on the other side, though, the Fed seems to be fairly tolerant of a stronger dollar. The U.S. Treasury seems fairly tolerant of a U.S. dollar or strong U.S. dollar, as long as the strength is being determined really by policy actions, and it looks like it's a fundamental-based move. I think the good news that we're seeing in the market so far is that the strong dollar story does have the strong fundamental base, really. So there's no resistance to that. But pretty much everybody else seems to be wanting to weaken their currency.
Excuse me, Alan, very quickly here. What does the dollar do given yen weakness? It's not one for one, is it?
No, I think the yen story is, you know, certainly partly specific to Japan, and the yen is being used as the chief funding currency against a host of other currencies. So, in fact, you're seeing some currencies like some of the high yielders, in fact, India, even Indonesia of late, South Africa's holding its own. These currencies are holding their own kind of thing. So it's a very specific story. There's a lot of idiosyncratic elements to the currency market at the moment.
Alan Ruskin with us. He's out of foreign exchange research. A number of other responsibilities at Deutsche Bank as well. Alan, let me talk about oil. If I was to teach a class right now on the technical construction of oil, it is a textbook price lower. And the definitive feature is there's no bid. There's just nobody there to buy it on a day-to-day basis. When does the bid come in?
Tough to tell exactly where the
market's
going to clear. There's a demand story here, and there's also a supply story, of course. And the perception is that supply will be much more restrained as we maintain prices below $80 a barrel. So you would expect, really, that oil will find some support somewhere between, say, $60 a barrel and $80 a barrel. But that's a very, very wide range indeed.
Well, it affects, obviously, the dollar's move affects the price of oil, but does oil have an impact going the other way at this point, or is it only one way?
No, it's definitely two ways. You're seeing the market very much sort of choosing winners and losers related to oil prices. So, obvious losers are the Russian ruble, which is, getting hit for a variety of different reasons. But you're seeing it also in Norway, the Colombian peso, even the Mexican peso as well. So those are the losers. The winners are the big importers. So India's a big winner on this one. Turkey, South African rand. So there's this redistribution effectively from the oil producers to the oil importers, and it's definitely having very big cross-rate effects in the currency market.
You bring up an interesting point when you mention Russia. Of course, the ruble has weakened significantly because of the sanctions as well as oil prices, and I'm just wondering how far you think that may go, and have they managed to put a floor under it in recent weeks?
No, I think it's far too early to say we've got anything like a floor there. It does feel like, obviously some of the foreign hot money has long left the country, really. I think it's more a case of short-term, beyond short-term flows, the local money that's still exiting, and that's a bigger problem, really, for the Russians.
Well, does anybody then around the world really care what happens to the ruble at this point, or is it out of the markets?
Well, I think, they will care if we see, a wider problem. We do have elements of the global economy currently that do resemble 1997 and 1998. And one of the problems, obviously, back in 98 was a full-blown debt crisis in Russia. One wouldn't anticipate anything quite like that, but one does care, really. And it's certainly having some knock-on effects already on the European economy in particular.
Fold this into a general investment theme for people that aren't playing the romance of Euro-Naki. You mentioned Norwegian currency. I just sent out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, the Euro-Norwegian currency pair. And as you know, Alan Ruskin, we're getting near where we were in 2004. Most of these extensions in the currency market make for pointy charts because somebody steps in and is an adult in the room and gets the trend fixed and reverses it. And, whether it's Plaza Court or whatever, somebody steps up. who's going to step up this time around? Is it like the IMF? Is there an institution that steps in and says enough?
Not really, Tom. I think some of the adjustments we're seeing are probably desirable. So the dollar's been weak for a long period of time, and now the ball's on the other foot, as it were. And some of these things also sort of medium-term themes. So, for example, rate spreads are going to move in favor of the dollar for the next 3 years, and accordingly, the dollar should be stronger. So, you know, some of the adjustments, I think, are definitely having a very strong fundamental base, and therefore the markets, you know, not going to fight it.
I knew that would be the answer, Mike McKee. I bring this up because the dollar hysteria now about strong, if you look at trade-weighted major, it's not strong. Yeah. It's just barely gotten going. I mean, what Alan said is totally dead on.
Well, do governments get involved anymore? I mean, yeah, some do on their own. But coordinate. We haven't seen a coordinated international effort on a currency in about 20, almost 20 years, 15 years maybe.
Yes, it's good. I think to get coordination is going to be quite tough unless you see something, you know, very, very big in terms of some sort of misalignment. And I don't anticipate that we'll see that anytime soon. I think the general view out there, and it's got a lot of take up in a lot of the major capitals, is independent monetary policy. Do what you have to do for your own economy, and that's probably going to be best for the global economy.
All right. Alan, thank you so much. Alan Ruskin, really brilliant.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014 Bloomberg LP.